I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I came away. What's up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing on this fall-like Monday? Fall has arrived here in Wisconsin. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a big show for you today. Very excited. I'm going to be joined by Will Ragland, who is the Vice President of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to be talking about, you know, Donald Trump likes to paint himself as the champion of American manufacturing. Turns out that's actually a big old fatty lie. And Will and I will dig into that. You're not going to want to miss that. At 3 o'clock, of course, it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. This one I'm really excited about. I'm going to be joined by a woman by the name of Sarah Chase. She is a reporter. She's done, everything from reporting for National Public Radio in Paris to covering the fall and resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan. So very, very interesting set of experiences. She's also served as a special advisor to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So this lady knows what is up. And what we're going to be talking about today is corruption. What does modern day corruption look like? And coming on the heels of my interview with Heather Cox Richardson last Friday, which if you missed it, you do want to go check that out. Heather Cox Richardson has the number one Substack. It's called Letters from an American. And we really kind of dug into, why is it that Donald Trump seems so obsessed with tariffs? Like, where is this coming from? And where does this sit in a historical context? And it turns out tariffs, often a tool of the corrupt. And by that, I mean not strategic, well-placed tariffs that are, frankly, a tool of foreign policy as well as an economic tool. I'm talking about these sort of widespread tariffs that Donald Trump is endorsing for his second term. Yeah, it turns out we've been there, done that. And it's led to basically the burdening of the middle class, the decimation of the middle class and the Great Depression. And it was all part of a scheme cracked up by the monopolists, the trust organizers of the Gilded Age, the robber barons and the steel magnates, to basically make the middle class pay for everything. And here we find ourselves again. So this discussion today with Sarah about corruption, modern corruption, I think is incredibly timely, especially when you consider the fact that Donald Trump has flouted a number of ethical norms, not just while he was in office, of course, but in anticipation of a potential second term. And I wanted to share all of this with you, and I'm going to get there this afternoon. Like, Donald Trump is already potentially engaging in all sorts of violations of conflict of interest rules, okay? I'm going to explain all that to you. Like, it is happening already. He doesn't need to, you know, take an oath and actually win an election for him to already be creating ethical concerns, conflict of interest concerns, as the GOP's number one presidential top of the ticket guy. And as we see, it looks like most polls, things are tightening up. By the way, nobody should be freaking out about that. If you're freaking out, call me 855-752-4842. I will talk you off the ledge. But as we see this race tighten up, his flouting of some of these normal practices that are engaged by the top candidates from both the Democratic Party as well as the Republican Party in anticipation of potentially becoming the president is really concerning. So I'm going to talk about that before we get out of this half hour. I want to share that with you. If you've got some
feelings or some instincts about this, as well as any sorts of knee-jerk reactions to the polls. I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. But what I want to start with today, first off, is mark your calendar. This Friday is probably going to be the one and the only Hovde Baldwin debate. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is hosting this debate, probably the only one, between Senator Tammy Baldwin and carpetbagger, 100 millionaire, doesn't really live in Wisconsin, Eric Hovde. I should also say doesn't really know much about anything. Psh, Eric Hovde, he just kind of makes things up. And Civic Media is going to have that debate live. It's coming up on Friday. So mark your calendars, really, really, really critical. But it's interesting, you know, we're about to enter into the early voting period or the absentee voting period here in the state of Wisconsin. And I'm going to take some time this week to go through and answer the most common, I think, basic questions about voting. I'm going to go through that just step by step so that y'all have all of the information that you need. You're going to want to have a pen and paper for that when we do that a little later this week. But one of the ways when you vote early, you can do that in person. It's called in-person early voting or in-person absentee voting. You can also request a ballot to be mailed to you. And you can either turn that ballot in by hand to your local clerk's office, or you can mail it in, or in some jurisdictions, there are drop boxes where you can drop your ballot off that you received early. And these drop boxes have been used in Wisconsin for decades. No problem. But all of a sudden, right, in 2020, because of COVID, because Democrats didn't lie about COVID, more Democratic-leaning voters were more likely to use mail-in ballots and drop boxes than were conservatives. So conservatives created a big old fat election lie about, like, oh, drop boxes aren't secure. Had them for 20 plus years, no problem. But all of a sudden, everybody got all freaked out about them, and Donald Trump spread a bunch of lies about drop boxes. Of course, now the ironic thing is Republicans are telling their people to vote early. But what's happened in the state of Wisconsin regarding drop boxes is really, really disgusting. First of all, you had the sheriff in Dodge County basically bullying city clerks into not using drop boxes. And of course, we had the mayor of Wausau with his dolly just walking off with the drop box. That was bad too. Apparently, all that being investigated by the attorney general. We'll see what happens there. But we also had our good friend Jeff Mandel from Law Forward in Wisconsin on last week. And Jeff talked about the fact that there's this federal lawsuit that has been going on related to two small towns in northern Wisconsin. And basically the lawsuit happened because they refuse to use accessible voting machines, digital voting machines. So now here's the sort of like third attack, right? You got the guy with the dolly rolling the drop box away. You got the sheriff bullying to not use drop boxes. And now, you know, like drop boxes, especially helpful for older people, people that have trouble getting around, people that may be disabled, right? Because you can get your voting done early. You're not going to be stuck waiting in a line. And now here in these small towns, we have yet another attack on common sense voting machinery that will make it harder for disabled people to vote. So Thornapple back in the spring decided, oh, we're not going to use voting machines. No. What? It makes it much harder. If you have a disability, you get, those paper ballots and the little Scantron bubbles. Like, I have a hard time doing it. I'm 47. I need my readers.
I need my readers.
Oh my goodness. Can't see any of that stuff. But the voting machines are really easy. They're touch screen. They're not hooked up to the internet. They're air gapped. And then it prints out a ballot that is perfectly legible that their machine readers can count. Except Thornapple, who had just bought these machines and they're not cheap, decided, oh, yeah, well, we're just not going to use those. And so here is the tape, like the tape that is the focus of these federal lawsuits. And I'm going to give you an update when we come back. I'm going to talk about Trump's corruption that's already starting for his potential second administration, second presidency. But we're going to probably go out to this sound, but I want you to listen to what's happening here. This is a woman by the name of Erin Webster. She's the Rusk County Democratic Party chairwoman, and she's talking to a supervisor from Thornapple about why they've stopped using the accessible voting machines. Okay. And yeah, he says the quiet part out loud. Let's take a listen.
Well, we made that decision and we're going to stand with it.
So why was that decision made?
Because we believe that there was a stolen election and the computers have to go because they're full of error.
Those are brand new machines.
I don't care how new they are. And I'm not going to get into that point. We made that decision. We're going to stay with that.
So you are not having ballot reading machines at the Thornapple Township because you believe the presidential election was stolen?
What was the point? We counted everything by hand anyhow.
So how was the election stolen if you counted everything by hand? The last presidential election was not counted by hand. So this is a partisan issue. And the reason you don't have those machines out is because you believe that your election was stolen.
There are court cases right now that show that anybody can hack and manipulate that machine within just a matter of a couple of minutes.
So you're also a conspiracy believer.
She points it out. Yeah, what he just said, this elected official from Thornapple, is absolutely a lie and untrue. There were over 70 some lawsuits following 2020. All of them argued that there was some kind of fraud. Not a whiff of evidence. Folks, I'm going to dig into the current status of that case and Trump's corruption when we get back.